Our scripture this morning is from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10, titled, The Branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with a lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Thank my brother in Christ for helping us to enter into time of opening ourselves to the truth that can be trusted, God speaking into our lives through God's word. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for your word, a truth that can be trusted. But now keep us open, stretch us to this truth that speaks into our lives and maybe a way in which we need to experience your grace that gives us a deeper understanding, a better vision, a more open heart to being your people. Thank you, Father, for being at work in us. And it's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. I don't know if any of you have ever dealt with, lived with, put up with someone who had to make their round of golf rain or shine. You don't have to raise your hands. Point to the person next to you. There was an old golfer, I didn't write this story, that's the term that they used, a mature golfer, okay, that could not imagine life without his daily round of golf. And so he consulted a spiritualist, asking her if she thought there would be golf courses in heaven. Have you ever pondered that? There'd be golf courses in heaven? She meditated for a few moments and then said to this brother, I have some good news and some bad news for you. Certainly there are lush, wonderful golf courses in heaven, and no matter what your shot, if it goes in the water, it pops out, a fish spits it out under the green again. If it goes in the sand, a beautiful hawk comes down and grabs it and drops it right in the hole for you. It's wonderful. The clubhouses are opulent and comfortable and welcoming, and yes, there are golf courses in heaven. That's the good news. The bad news is that you have tee-off time at 9:30 tomorrow morning. I'm looking at some of the golfers that I know and love in the gathering today. So, for us, we really get wrapped up in what we have planned, don't we? Yours truly, also. No question about it. We get very wrapped up in this is what's on my schedule. And you know, if there's something that kind of tweaks that schedule even a little bit, What is our reaction sometimes? Beloveds, what is our reaction sometimes? Beloved, you never know where the preacher's going to show up, so watch how you behave in Walmart and Fry's, and how you're driving in the parking lot, things like that. There was this police officer that pulled over a woman at one point, and he came out, and he had his hand, he had not pulled his gun yet, but he had his hand on, and he's walking up to the side of the car, and he was looking in, and he was checking her out up and down, and she said, "Officer, I don't know what the problem was." And he said, "Well, I've been following you, and I saw you give some of those kind of single-digit hand signals to individuals coming out of Fry's, and I saw you mouthing some things that maybe weren't necessarily focused on Christ. And whenever I saw that fish symbol on the back of your car, I was sure that this car had been stolen." Who is in charge in our lives? Who's in charge in our lives? Now, certainly we come here, and I appreciate each and every one of you coming here. I'm thankful, and I am blessed by each and every one of you, truly. It's wonderful to be part of the family of God, and it's wonderful to be part of a house of prayer and brothers and sisters in Christ on the journey. But you know what, folks? If our focus is not God, and if our focus is not that relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ, that saving relationship, and if we are not open to how God is guiding us through His Holy Spirit, then all we are is a club. We're not a church. And all we are is just kind of putting up decorations rather than worshiping Christ. So today, on this second Sunday of Advent, we're called to kind of step out of whatever routine, whatever treadmill we're on, whatever hectic schedule we have. We're kind of called to step back and step out of it and think about what God is in the midst of doing. You know, the prophet Isaiah offers beautiful words this morning, doesn't he? Actually, he offered them first many, 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 many years ago. And they conjure up and create wonderful images in our minds. But I need to share with you that these words from Isaiah were not spoken at a time of great prosperity or great safety for the people. It wasn't a high point for the people of God. He was not watching a dazzling sunset. We have those here in Yuma. He was watching the dazzling swords of the great and overpowering Assyrian army as they sliced their way through his native land of Palestine, leaving nothing but a trail of blood and agony. He was living through what has been called the first Holocaust of the Jews. It occurred between 740 and 700 BC. Five times during these 40 years did the Assyrian army, the vast and superior Assyrian army, it was the strongest fighting force in the known world at the time, stampede through the hill country of Israel, working terror and destruction wherever they went. They had no regard for anyone's culture, no regard for anyone's religion, no regard for anyone else's life. They came like a scorpion plague, devouring everything and everyone in their path. It was a horrible 40 years, those years in which Isaiah lived. But the prophet spoke nonetheless. And that's a word of hope for us right there. That even in the midst of overwhelming odds, he knew that God would still win. God was still in control. Didn't seem like it. It didn't appear like it. But our God is a mighty God. The promise of God, you see, is more powerful than the destructiveness of humanity. Let me share that again. The promise of God is more powerful than the destructiveness of humanity. Isaiah's first words of hope: in the midst of despairing times, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. This is more than just a twig coming out of a dead stump. The Hebrew words suggest a healthy branch, tough new growth on a tree that has long produced much good fruit. In this case, the new branch is a king from the house of David, whose gifts come directly from God, and under whose leadership all life, all of the world, all of creation will be changed. That is hope. That is something that we can rest on. And that is something that reminds us that God is at work even when we are not paying attention. This new shoot out of the Davidic line points directly to Christ. Sometimes people say that Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, is the fifth gospel because it actually refers to Christ so often. It points to the coming of one who would offer a whole new way, who would turn the world on its head and would truly usher in the kingdom of God. Was the kingdom of God breaking forward in the time of Isaiah? No, not necessarily. But with Christ's birth, specifically with the birth of Jesus, the kingdom of God began in a whole new way and has continued from that very time. That means, my friends, we are kingdom people. That means, my friends, we are living in God's kingdom right now, no one else's kingdom, because we bear the name of Christ. We claim that name of Christ. And that means that we are people of unending hope. Just when we think that our world is collapsing around us, as Isaiah must have thought deep inside, we can have these words of hope that spring out also, that there is going to be a new leader, there's going to be a new way of living. It has been prophesied. It has come to fruition. That new way of living only comes through that saving relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ. The real hope that God offers us is through that baby that we prepare for. That birthing that came into the world, and that birth of Christ anew in us in this season of Advent. Let me ask you something. Do you think that you ever truly arrive as a Christian on earth? You ever have it all? Okay, I'm good, God. I'm super Christian. Move on to the next person. You should laugh at that. I laugh at that. The times in my life, and as a brother in Christ, as a minister, where I've thought, okay, it's on a roll, it's going pretty well, I think I got this, God. Right then and there, what happens? Right at the knees. Right at the knees. Takes you out. Something happens. Something humbles you. And there's a reason for that. God gets our attention and says, trust in me, not in yourselves. You can always grow. There's always something new to learn. There's always a new way to experience my love. There are endless ways, unending ways, of being able to experience God's love and grace in our lives if we are but humble and open to it. So, Christ came as a fulfillment of Isaiah's vision and prophecy. But also Christ came to change hearts. And that means our hearts. Each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, in some way, needs to be changed. We all need to be more focused on God. And that's not a word of judgment from your pastor or from this brother in Christ. That's simply a reminder that God's love is there for us in an even deeper and more intimate manner. If we can pay attention to Him more. Christ came to us for a time of repentance, a turning back to God. You know, I unpack words for people and for myself, and repentance is one of those things that I unpack. People think about that kind of fire and brimstone. Repent! Did I wake up anybody in the back row? Or right there, right up here in the third row? Okay, woke up everybody. And, you know, shouting and screaming. But repentance, or to repent, is to turn back to God. Different feel to that, isn't it? Turn back to God. Turn back to that God who is already looking at you. Turn back to that God whose fingerprints are all over you. Our sister in Christ had mentioned about putting those announcements of the concerts up on your refrigerator right next to your grandkids' pictures. Well, do you know who has your picture on his refrigerator? God. Think about that. He loves you so much. Now, that's a big refrigerator also. I know. Don't think about that. Don't email me later and say, "Preacher, how big of a refrigerator is that?" Okay, come on. God knows each of us by names. He's already at work in your life. And so repentance means turning back and receiving that grace. Repentance is a wonderful thing then, isn't it? Turning back, receiving grace, forgiveness, love. Real hope only comes from God. Real hope only comes from God in a world that sometimes seems filled with despair. In Copenhagen, Denmark, there's a statue of Christ that pictures our Lord with His arms outstretched in love. Picture that. Jesus with His arms outstretched in love and compassion. For many years, it has moved people to tears who stand before this figure of the Christ that seems to beckon us to come to Him. Imagine that. Christ saying, "Come to me." What is strange about the sculpture is that its creator, Bertel Thorildsen, intended to create a very different kind of figure. This is true. His original model was a massive clay figure of Jesus as a hero king. You know, the people on Palm Sunday saying, "Yes, we have a king." They wanted a general riding in rather than a servant, Messiah, Savior. That was his original intention. The head was thrown back imperiously, and the hands of Jesus were raised as if in a gesture of command. The great Danish sculptor finished his work and then left the statue to dry in his studio overnight. But the sea mists and fog came in, and they worked a strange change in the artist's handiwork. You know what happened? When the sculptor returned, he found the head of Christ not imperiously raised, but humbly fallen forward. The hands not raised as a conquering general, but outstretched as a gesture of love. In his heart, Thorildsen knew what words he would place in the inscription below this statue. "Come to me, all that are heavy laden and I will give you rest. The hope which Isaiah envisioned so long ago, peace, natural enemies lying with one another in a peaceable kingdom, that hope that Isaiah envisioned comes to us in ways we never imagined through the living Christ, whose birth we celebrate and await and lift up in this Advent journey. Christ enters our lives and turns any despair that we have into the newness of life. For us, today, we have a Christ whose arms are outstretched to us. We have a Christ not lording over us, but Lord of us in a way that we can trust and count on Him and be embraced in His healing touch. How are you following God in this Advent journey? How are you receiving that embrace of those outstretched arms of Christ? How are you able to understand that even in the midst of despair, God is at work in a way that sometimes we can't even imagine? How are you turning back to God in repentance, ready to receive that incredible grace and love that only He can offer? All those questions are questions that only each of us can answer. I can't give you the answer. But I invite you to take a few moments with me right now in reflection, knowing that the God of the universe, the God that Isaiah spoke of, the God who is still in control today, is at work in your life. Join with me in prayer to that God.